They tried to get somebody to speak here on July the 4th, and they couldn't get nobody. So one said to them, let's just get the last resort, and that'll be Richard. Hey, you're going to get the last word anyway, aren't you? Now, I do appreciate them asking me to do this. It's a privilege to do it. If I had one sermon to preach, the one last sermon, you know, I've joked from time to time about I got one more sermon. Well, I got one more sermon for tonight, and I think it's going to be one that we probably could really relate to, because I think it's something that I know I need in my life, and I'm pretty sure that every one of you needs this in your life. If I had one sermon to preach, I'd like to remember what Jesus Christ said to Peter, and I think it's in about Matthew chapter 16, where he said, upon this rock I will build my church. And he loved me so much that he's willing to shed his blood for my redemption. And as I've said from time to time, I believe that if I was the only sinner on the face of this earth, that he would have died for me. You see, that's the kind of Savior we serve. He loves us, and he gave himself for us. You remember when Paul said goodbye to those elders, and he said, you feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So that church of which we're a part of, this congregation is a part of the wonderful and majestic church of Christ, blood-bought, spirit-filled, and glory-bound. That is our mission here upon the face of this earth. Tonight, I would like for you to stimulate your thinking upon this particular lesson. It's a lesson of encouragement. And those few scriptures that I've got listed on the pages that you have are from the NIV, and I'm not a big fan of the NIV, but for what I wanted to look at tonight, it didn't do any harm to the scriptures whatsoever. But I know what encouragement does for a person. The last time I preached here, in the course of the following week, I got one of the sweetest cards I've ever got. Said how much they enjoyed my preaching and how it encouraged me. Give me a new fire. Give me a new desire. We all need encouragement from time to time. Now I want to give you this lesson in just one simple sentence. When we forget about 97% of the things we hear, maybe we'll remember this particular sentence. And that is, church growth flourishes in an atmosphere of encouragement. Church growth flourishes in an atmosphere of encouragement. We want to encourage one another. We want to build each other up in the most holy faith. And most of the lesson tonight will be from Acts chapter 4. It's interesting to note that I noticed this past week or the week before last, I can't remember which, that there are over 100 passages of Scripture in the New Testament that we would refer to as the one another Scriptures. Let me give you 11 of them. Right away, just the basis of this lesson tonight. We are to care one for another. We are to teach and admonish one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are to serve one another. We are to be kind one to another. We are to prefer one another. The Bible says we are to be hospitable to one another. The Bible also says we need to forgive one another. The Bible also says that we need to live at peace with one another. And the Bible tells us that we're to pray for one another. And the last point that I bring up would be simply this. The Bible admonishes us as New Testament Christians that we might encourage one another. Encouragement. We all need it. Families need encouragement. Our children need encouragement. The sick and the suffering needs encouragement. senior citizens, of which Stan is approaching quickly, needs encouragement. Lost souls need encouragement. Individual Christians need encouragement. Churches committed to growth needs encouragement. And you and I need encouragement. Let me give you another example. About 4 years ago, I think it was, or something like that, I know that Shirley and I just started back over here at Tanner, and we was at Vacation Bible School, and I think I was sitting right back here. And our teacher got up, and he began a very unique type of lesson. He began to thank individuals in this congregation for the work and the dedication they had to the cause of Christ. Man, that was moving. That was moving. And when he got through, I said, "You forgot one person." And he said, "Who?" And I said, "You. Harold McKee." He encouraged us that particular night. I think Ruby remembers that, because I think we were sitting close to me, because you amen me when I said you. Encouragement, that does something for you. It puts a fire in your bones. Now, those verses of Scripture that you notice on your handout, let's look at that. Let's look at those for a moment. And these are indeed from the NIV, but I don't think that the word encouragement appears. Encourage or encouragement appears in the King James Version, but in the NIV that it does. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 and verse 14. And here the scripture says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up," just in the fact you are doing. "Encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone." That's inspiration. That comes from the very courts of heaven itself. God breathed all Scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Be encouraged in your heart and strengthened in every good deed and word." In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, Paul, in writing to the young preacher Timothy, said, "You preach the word prepared in season and out of season. You correct, you rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that we can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it." Then we turn over to the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 13. "Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." And then that scripture we all know, Hebrews 10:25. "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but encourage one another," NIV. "Encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." When we was in Texas, I went to the Groves Church of Christ. And as I was there for a while, they instructed me and wanted me to preach every fourth Sunday. But what really set that congregation apart for me in that particular area was one of the elders come by every Saturday to encourage me. He would say, "I come here, brother, to exhort you, to encourage you, so you look forward to the worship of our God on the morrow." Bill Brunniger was his name. Two of his here, you know, he was Abraham. You know, I don't know if y'all remember him, not Laura Lee and Abraham. They attended here for a while, I think, when Charles was preaching here. But he was the elder for that particular family and for us. Now, with these scriptures in mind, let's see what we can learn about becoming encouragers and strive together to grow the wonderful and majestic Church of Christ here in Tanner, Alabama. If I had one sermon to preach, I'd want to encourage you. I'd want to exhort you. I'd want you, with all long-suffering and doctrine, to help this congregation grow. That's what Jesus died for. He gave us a message. And my friends, we just can't lay down on the job. We have to preach that message. We have to encourage one another so that we might keep on preaching the message from day to day. And I believe as you look in the Bible that God has placed a definition, maybe more than a definition, maybe a model of encouragement in that man we find in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. We find our definition and model in Barnabas, the son of encouragement. You know, as you read the Bible, he has three names, one of them being Joseph, and he was called Barnabas. But then the son of consolation, the King James Version says, NIV, and the New King James Version says, the son of encouragement. And I just want to do one simple thing in this lesson, that simply scan the book of Acts and see what we can learn from this one known as the son of encouragement. If you would, turn to Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32. And so here's where we meet Barnabas for the first time. The scripture says that all the believers were one with one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them.
Somebody's got the black Jeep or a gray Jeep is sitting over here. Their alarm system's off. Going on. I don't know who that is.
I ain't got my name. You know, I'm old, fat, and ugly. I done forgot where I was at. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So what are the characteristics of an encourager? Look at your own life as I look at my life and see if I can be characterized as an encourager in my relationship with you and with my Lord. First of all, I think one of the things that jumps out to me about being an encourager, this man here, this Barnabas, was that he gives freely of his resources. I think encouragers today give freely of their resources. Barnabas sells a piece of land and gives the money to the church, and they distribute it to those who are in need. You see, the New Testament church, the ones we read about in the pages of the New Testament, had a family mindset. They believed in family. They practiced the idea, what's mine is mine, but if it's yours, if you need it. And this idea, of course, came from John the Baptist. When he was preaching in the wilderness, that group of people come out to see him, and he said, you're going to have to repent and get ready for the kingdom. And some said, what are you talking about? What is repentance? Look at Luke chapter 3 and verse 11. He kind of gives you the answer to that particular question. He said, the man with two coats should share with him who has none. And the one who has food should do the same thing. What John is saying here is that New Testament people, he's saying that those churches, those Christians, those kingdom seekers will be known as people of encouragement. They were willing to share what they had with those who were in need. The book of Acts, you continue to read, bears this out, doesn't it not? Encouragement simply means giving to others, fulfilling the need of others out of our own God-given resources as it arises, the need arises from time to time. And I believe encouragers recognize that. And what we really have really doesn't belong to us all. We belong to God. We are stewards of God's blessings up here on this face of this earth. As Robert preached here several weeks ago, we are not our own. Our bodies do not even belong to us. God, it belonged to God. He's the one who created us. He's the one who made us. You know, we sometimes live as though we're going to take all his possessions with us. We stuff our pockets full. But you know, someone once said there was no pockets in those funeral shrouds. You know, hearses don't pull U-Hauls, even though there's no country song about it. Some years ago said, Dad went to heaven in a U-Haul. Y'all might remember that song. You remember that, Robert? Yeah, you are too. Evidently, Barnabas recognized this factor. Evidently, he didn't need this field. He didn't need this coat, but some of his brethren did, so he gives freely to others. You know, sometimes words are not enough. One of James, they mentioned, and I believe it's in about chapter 2, but you know, James is not very long. You can read the whole five chapters in just a 30 minutes or so, you'd run across this. He said, when someone comes to us having a need, just to say, well, I want you to be filled and I want you to be warm, he said, that's not enough. You're going to have to encourage that person by giving and relieving the needs of that person. You know, we have to back up our words with tangible encouragement, support. And I believe that church growth begins when we're willing to freely give of our tangible resources that God has given us. When we are willing from a good heart to share the blessings that God has placed before us. So, they give. The second point I want to talk about for a moment is simply this. They encourage us to give with an open-handed philosophy. When they give, it's a done deal. That's it. It's over. They're not looking for something in return. They could care less who gets the credit, you know, credit for that. Their goal, encourage's goal, main goal is to meet the needs of our brothers and sisters and those who stand in need. Barnabas sells this property, and he brings the money, and he gives it to lays it down at the apostles' feet. He gave it to them that they might distribute to those who had need. No strings attached. Barnabas was not, and is not found saying, I'll give this if you spend it the way I direct, the way I want you to do it. No, he gives it to them, and let the elders of that Jerusalem Church of Christ use it as they saw fit. Corrie Ten Boom, and I didn't know anybody knew about her except Stan. She put it well when she said this. I've learned not to hold on to anything too tightly because it hurts too much when God has to pry my fingers back to get to it. So I've learned to live life with an open hand so that God can give and take as he wishes. That's a very wise saying, I think. I think was this not Job's philosophy? And he say when God took away all of his goods and all of his family, and he was left only with a wife, he said, the Lord gives. The Lord takes. That is our heart. I want to encourage her. And I want to admonish you to be that kind of person. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord, as he said upon this occasion. I want you to notice what happens when we share with others those resources that God has blessed us with, including sharing the truth about Jesus and about his gospel and about his resurrection. What does Luke say in Acts 4 and verse 33? He said, and much grace was upon the people. Which one of us can stand just a little bit more grace from God? Which one of us can bask in the sunlight of God's love as he pours that grace upon us? But here we notice he was talking about those people who were doing what New Testament Christians did in the first century, that the grace of God was shed upon them. Do you want the Church of Christ at Tanner to have more grace from God? Be an encourager. Be and encourage you. Many of us want and need more grace in our lives. The third point I want to look at is an encourager accepts us where we are. You turn back to Acts chapter 9. The Jews were in a conspiracy to kill the Apostle Paul. But some of the fellow Christians, fellow members of the body, slipped him out of town by night in a basket over the wall. And then he goes to Jerusalem, and he presents himself to the church there. But they were afraid of him. They were afraid because they couldn't believe that he had been converted to Christ. Here was a man who was going from house to house, seizing Christians, maybe beaten and jailed and tortured some of those because of what Paul's idea of serving God was at that particular time. So they didn't have much use for Paul. They didn't want Paul around. They were afraid of him. They'd seen him doing this. But look in verse 21 of chapter 9. They said, is this not the man who caused havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? So these Christians really had concerns, maybe had reason for concerns. But notice who comes to the rescue. Drop your eyes on down to verse 27 of Acts 9. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and told them about his Damascus Road experience. So Paul stayed in Jerusalem, moving about freely and boldly speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you can see the characteristics of an encourager here. Encouragers really accept people where they are. What they're concerned is helping us to become what we can be. They want to help us to reach our potential. They're not concerned about where we've been, but they're more concerned where we're going, what we can accomplish, what we can be. And when we encourage each other, we can do that. This church will grow if we learn to encourage one another, as we should. Sometimes we just don't act like we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to become an encourager and accept people where they are. Help them get to a point where they need to be. Encouragers don't look at our past. Encouragers look at the present and the future possibilities that might be there. Encouragers do not spend their time examining our faults and our mistakes and our sins. They don't go about saying, I knew old so-and-so years ago when he was a low-down rascal. And I don't know if he's changed much yet. Help the person grow. Help him reach his potential. Help the church grow by being an encourager and not dwelling on what people used to be or what people used to do. Man, I would be just unhappy person if I had to dwell on all my mistakes that I've committed down through the course of my life here. Encouragers don't spend their time examining faults. They don't spend their time looking at my mistakes. They spend their time encouraging me to be what I can be and help me to try to reach my full potential as a member of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ at Tanner, Alabama. And I want to encourage you so that we might grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Encouragers look for nothing but our potential, what we could be. You know, the truth is that as God's children, as baptized believers, been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, that God doesn't hold our past against us. The Bible tells us he just remits our sins. They're washed away, covered by the blood of Christ. And he'll never, ever bring them up again, those sins that we repented of. But we're being human. Sometimes we would like to go back and remind people how sorry they used to be. How sorry they used to be. That's not encouragement, my friends. We need to look at the positive in people's lives. I'm so glad that God doesn't hold me to my past sins. In Christ, the Bible says, we're new creatures. Why can't we treat each other when we're in Christ as new creatures? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have become new. All things have become new. Let me show you just for a moment the heart, the attitude, and the disposition and behavior of an encourager from the life of Jesus Christ. Let me point you to one example. Simon Peter. Would you select Simon Peter if you knew what he's going to do? Jesus, knowing all things, he knew what? He knew Simon's strong points. He knew his weak points. Probably he probably knew that the Lord, he was going to take his eyes off the goal. He probably knew that, during the crucifixion trial that he would deny him three times. And yet he selected Peter, and he encouraged Peter, and he loved Peter. He empowered Peter with the keys to the kingdom. And when I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's because of the keys that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and been preserved down through time. Yes, Jesus knew Peter, and he saw the potential. Then there's Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. That's probably one of the worst vocations you could have in that particular time. I know time and time again, Jesus kind of grouped them together with the scribes and with the Sadducees, the tax collectors. But here was Matthew Levi, a tax collector, one who was focused on the material things of life, one who gained his material abundance on the backs of his fellow countrymen, the Jews. The most likely disciple, the most unlikely disciple of Jesus was Matthew. But Matthew emerges as one of Jesus' most promising followers. He would go on to write the first gospel. And how many of us thrilled to read the words of Matthew from those 28 chapters? Times of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I do. I love to read about it. And there's another example in the life of Jesus where he was an encourager. In John chapter 4, when he met the woman at the well, here's a woman who had ruined her life with five husbands. And she had a live-in at that particular time. But Jesus sees the potential in this woman. He saw what this woman might could accomplish with just a little bit of encouragement. Because Jesus accepted her where she was. She becomes an evangelist responsible for converting the entire city of Sychar. He accepted her as she was. Encouraged her to do better. And I travel on down in the book of John to the chapter 8. There the adulterous woman is taken in the very act. Jesus tells this sinner, go your way and sin no more. Was Jesus saying it's not your fault? That you're just caught up in the signs of the times? This is the way things are in this day and age? No, Jesus didn't do that. He just said, you go and you sin no more. He made her guilt. He made her sin real. He knew she was a sinner. She knew she was a sinner. But he didn't dwell on what she was, but what she could be. So this woman left with a new outlook on life. Because the Savior said, you go and you go your way and you sin no more. You know, Jesus is saying, I come to call the sinners to repentance. The righteous need not repentance. He's saying to this woman, I see you. I know what you are. I know what you've engaged in. But I don't condemn you. I forgive you. Now he is saying, in essence, this woman, you go and you start building a better life. Just do it. Nike. Just do it. Just do it is what he's saying. You build yourself a better life because I believe in you. Go and sin no more. What a difference we suppose that we can make in the lives of our children if we constantly encourage them. What about our neighbors? Can we make a difference in their lives by constantly encouraging them? Can we make a difference in the lives of those who are members of the Church of the Lord by encouraging them? And those who are lost in sin, can't we make a difference by encouraging those to do better? And maybe those that we differ with religiously, we will just accept them where they are while helping them to get where they should be, to stand in the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, rather than judging them on their past or the present. Encouragers don't see what we are. We see what we could be. When we notice that person, we look and we encourage them to do right and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, being human beings, we're all sinners. And we all stand in need of encouragement from time to time. We need it so desperately. Just think what we could be if we just encourage each other as we should. The fourth characteristic of an encourager, that they get excited about the progress and potential of others. You turn to the book of Acts chapter 11 and begin and read in verse 19 through a few verses there. And here the Bible is talking about those who are scattered abroad and those who had been preaching the gospel, and they were in Antioch, and their love was flowing so much between the brethren and been encouraging each other. The Bible says that they was growing and they were working. But you know, if you notice in verse 23, that Barnabas was glad at their conversion, and he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord. You see, he was getting excited about their progress. We need to get excited about the progress of the people that we baptize from time to time. We need to try to help them grow, see the potential in them, not what they used to be, but what they can become with a proper encouragement. I ain't near through. I didn't think I had enough the last 30 minutes. Let me move on down to number 5 because I think it's very important too. Encouragers are unselfish people. Things were going well in the church at Antioch, but here in Acts chapter 11, Barnabas goes to Tarsus to look for Paul. Now that's strange thinking for today. When things are going well, we like to take credit for them. You know, on my job, if things are going well, I want to take credit for it, but not Barnabas. Things were going pretty well over there in Antioch, but he knew that Paul could do a better job. So he was unselfish in his approach to this. And so he goes looking for Paul, and he brings Paul so that he might help the church grow and reach its full potential in that particular area. You see, encouragers are not out to make a name for themselves, but are interested in church growth. Encouragers are willing to take a back seat when others can do a better job. Encouragers are willing to preach in small numbers, in small congregations. Encouraging teachers are willing to teach even if there's only one student in the class. Encouragers have a servant mentality. Encouragers are willing to place the good of others before their own personal preferences. Encouragers are those who are willing to hold up the hands of others. Encouragers are those who are willing to send others on mission fields when we can't go ourselves. So church growth really is not about me, but me seeing the potential and others, and being humble enough and unselfish enough to allow others to use their abilities to the very best of their ability. Then the last point, encourages give others a second chance. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 through 41. You know, Paul and Barnabas decide to go back and visit the churches they planted on the first missionary journey. But then there's a problem. The problem was John Mark. You see, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, but Paul didn't want to take him because he had left the journey, about one-third of the missionary journey. I think he left from maybe Cyprus or somewhere along that way. Paul says he ain't going. Barnabas says he deserves another chance. And the scripture tells us the disagreement got so sharp that Paul and Barnabas split company. And Paul chose Silas, and Barnabas took John Mark. You see, he was willing to give John Mark another chance. He was willing to give him another chance, a second chance. And they each set out on their separate journey. I was telling Shirley tonight, this afternoon, about a story that a theory that I read, that when you go back to Acts chapter 1 and Judas had already committed suicide and gone the way of perdition, and they had two men that was before the apostles. One of them was Matthias, another one was John Barsabas, I believe it was. And a theory that I read about, and I don't know about this, could that have been John Joseph Barnabas? Maybe the disciples decided to call him Barnabas because he was so encouraging. And the story I read was, if that's the case, no wonder that Barnabas was so intent on taking John Mark, because he knew that, you know, the straw didn't fall on him, if that was him, to be an apostle. Maybe he knew the hurt of rejection. Maybe he knew that was what it was. But encouragers are willing to give others a second chance. In this church family, you know, we have preachers and elders and deacons and mission, some of our leaders, people in the pew who have failed. However, if we're going to grow, we must forgive them, forgive each other. We must give each other another chance. We need to encourage them. We need to give them that second chance, and even more if we have to. You see, the Western business world says, if you don't do the job, you're not getting a second chance. Fire them, send them on their way. But God's model is, give them another chance. Aren't you glad that God is an encourager? Aren't you glad that he didn't give up on me or you at your first failure? Aren't you glad he didn't give up on you on your second or your third or your fourth or your hundredth or your 1,000th? No, he didn't give up on you. He don't give up on you. He sees the potential. He gives us another chance. Indeed, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My friends, to me, tells me that God is an encourager. Let us be encouragers. Let's help the wonderful and majestic Church of Christ here in Tanner, Alabama, grow and reach its full potential. Thank you.